With the Premier League paused, we gather together for a game of buy, sell or hold. We salute the form of Saka as we assess premiums again, plus we look at fixtures and where the swings are coming. Hi guys, it's Thursday, international break time, but FPL Pod is as always back and we're all together in person in a studio in London. So good morning, Sam Bonfield, Julian Laurent. I nearly called you Sam Laurent. I nearly married you.
That would be a bit odd.
No thanks.
Let's not do that.
Sorry to respective Mr. Bonfield and Mrs. Laurent. Gosh, it's been quite the week for me, as you can tell, because I can't even remember your name. Sam, how are you? How's international break treating you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. It's always nice to get into the international break with a green arrow, so...
What's that? A minute? Not even a minute, yeah, and she's mentioned her green arrow.
I have to mention it.
It's a bit of a bad week for us to be in the studio, isn't it? Or particularly you, actually.
For me, yeah. Big red arrow for the international break. I'm loving it. But it's good. I can forget a little bit about FPL and just focus on, you know, France, England's great games against Finland and Greece and all that stuff. So
here we go again.
I love the international break.
England haven't played yet.
No, but they're about to, as we're recording this. So I'm just excited for all England fans to see some great games this week.
This is the FPL pod, nothing to do with England.
Nothing at all.
Let's bring it back round to FPL then. We'll go with you first, Jules. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's be honest, it's not as bad as Cole Palmer Gate, but it wasn't great last week, was it?
It wasn't great. 36 points, only my boy Brian Mbeumo returning with Kai Havertz, only two players returning. The rest was pretty rubbish, let's be honest. I got a bit unlucky with Konta's injury, like a lot of managers. Andy Robertson not starting was not great either. Arsenal didn't keeping a clean sheet. West Ham either, and Areola. So pretty much everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. So here we go.
No Saka either.
You know, because I went for Havertz and the Saka, Salah, Palmer discussion, which we have again later, was still very much in my mind. I almost made the transfer Salah for Palmer, to be fair, not even Saka. I didn't in the end.
You kind of made peace with not having Saka, hadn't you, before last week, I felt like.
Yeah, yeah. And I maintain that it's very difficult to have two of those three. Mm. So you pick one of who you feel could do better between Salah, Palmer and Saka. And I got it wrong this week.
It does prove that maybe we know what we're talking about last week when we were talking about which premium to go for. Mm. And you can't jump between them because you just don't know when they are going to get the points.
Absolutely.
Like I was considering after Cole Palmer did what Cole Palmer did, going from Saka to Palmer. Thank goodness I didn't, because Saka got me a score that was 58. That's 22 points more than you, Jules. You gave me a lot of stick last week. But yeah, that's two in 3 weeks scores that begin with three for you.
Is it? Are you sure? No, I had two good weeks in a row. So
hold on, right.
Surely,
okay.
Yeah.
36
yeah.
in game week seven, yeah. 61 in game week six. Oh, yeah, 74
yeah,
in game
yeah,
week five.
Yeah. That's when I overtook you. You know, now you're just 3 points clear. You're 3 points clear of me. It's fine.
Right. But I do enjoy it when you get a score that begins with three. That's something that Sam doesn't know about because he's having a brilliant season.
Not this season. It happened before.
Actually, you're having a brilliant season, but I actually got 4 points more than you last week. I'm quite proud of that. Any week that I beat you in is a good week. 54, though, probably like me, like you said, pretty happy with that.
Yeah, pretty happy. Given I haven't wildcarded yet either, it's still, they're ticking along quite nicely at the minute, my team. So pretty happy. There were a couple of annoyances in there. I think I brought in McNeil. Didn't love the fixture last week, but bought him for the longer term. Yeah.
Hold on a sec. Did you mention that in the pod?
So I made this.
She's just done a Julian Laurent.
So,
honestly.
Like a submarine, you know?
I'm speaking to the bosses.
Yeah, spent too much time with him. I think... So I made that decision really late. It came from nowhere. So we recorded the pod on, when did we record it last week? Thursday.
Who knows, the week's
whatever day it was. And at no point had I even considered McNeil. I really wanted Mbeumo and I just couldn't do it. The only way to do it was to sell Jota. Then I wanted Brennan Johnson and I just couldn't work out how to get him either without making big changes to my team.
I really thought he was going to end up in your team. He ended up in, we had your husband Lee on the FPL show last week and he'd brought in Brennan Johnson and I was like, you've been influenced.
Massively.
Did that turn you against it?
No, I really wanted it. In fact, I've never celebrated a goal with him quite as much as we did the Brennan Johnson goal on Sunday. I think for me, he's at an awkward price point and I was like 0.2 short of being able to afford him and I was just like, ugh. And so I was backwards and forwards on what to do and I wanted to keep Jota because he seems to be the right one again right now.
A few weeks ago he felt like the wrong one when we went for Diaz and now,
yeah. And the last couple of weeks he's saved my bacon in both game weeks really and so I wanted to keep him but it meant I needed a cheap option. And I didn't want to play Smith Rowe against Manchester City. And actually, in the end, it was the right decision because he was benched anyway. So I don't really have a bench at the moment because of the Barco situation. And there were a couple of players I looked at. I very, very nearly went Carvalho, who was my differential last week. But I decided in the end that if I did that with Vissaback training on the grass, I was a bit worried about how long-term that pick would be, and maybe that would cause me some problems further down the line. Whereas with McNeil, the fixtures are nice, and I thought if I do that, I'm probably not booking in the wild card yet. I can just let it ride out and see what happens.
Booking in the wild card. Sam's so much more organised than us. She's booked
so
in.
About Dev,
when's it currently booked in for?
Game week 12.
Okay, so we've got another 5 weeks until we're still wild card. Okay, so yeah, last week was all about, I was going to say Cole Palmer, it was all about Bukayo Saka. By the way, just to confirm, he was sold by 200,000, 259,000 even. Numbers really aren't my thing. 259,197 managers. A lot of those did move to Palmer. So yeah, it didn't pay off, but potentially it'll be back to Palmer next week. Who knows? Though those Chelsea fixtures do look a little bit more difficult. Let's check in with the Pod Mini League. The code, a reminder, Q7YCO0. And the leader at the top is Kwaku Ankama Asamoah's team, Drummer Boys United. They got 75 points this week. We thought our score was good.
And then I
need to stop reading this FPL Pod Mini League because it always depresses me about my team. They also did take a -4, but well done. Captain Saka still had Palmer in their team and Bumo and Havertz as well. Second place, Suman Suter returned 82 points this week, also captain in Saka. And they did Pedro to Dilap.
My buddy.
Are you ever going to bring him in?
Well, the problem I got now is that I've got a Watkins, Haaland, Solanke front three.
And you like that?
I do like that. But I do still...
Could free up some funds for mids.
I know. Yeah, I look longingly at Dilap. Every time I watch
every
them,
time he scores,
like, oh,
I think
please,
of him.
Please, come on.
Every time he scores. Okay, so thank you to everyone who is playing against us in our mini league. Let's move on now. And we're going to play a game that we haven't played for a little while. It's called Buy, Sell and Hold, because we're at a point, and we're going to come on to this in just a moment, where there are some fixture swings. We're all taking stock of where our teams are. So maybe we want to move on some of the popular players. This first name I'm going to throw to you, I reckon we're all going to be unanimous in what we say on this, but I do think there's a conversation around Erling Haaland, Jules.
I think the only conversation for me is around the captaincy and how regularly we look at him as a captain, because other than that, even at his price, I think he's a keep, must keep, has to keep, definitely keeping, not selling. I don't know, whatever way you want me to.
Out of fear of other people owning him, or is that just because you just think he's still the best player in the game?
Yeah, I think he's still the best player in the game, even at his price.
Yeah, I guess it's easier to have this conversation when he's had a blank at home, which we're not used to. And it feels so much worse, him blanking at home, because his home record is so extraordinarily good. I wouldn't get rid of him, but that's because I'm a sheep and I play this game in fear.
Well, are you in a bar? Or?
No,
I have had a few people. Yeah, the sheep, he can't bar when he got 30-odd points.
I still can, but
I've seen a few people saying that maybe you could redistribute those funds. That says, oh, we don't even need to answer that. Don't sell
Haaland. It's the fixtures.
Yeah.
That all is Southampton, Bournemouth, Brighton.
I also think the reason I wouldn't get rid of him as well is there's no obvious other place to go. I know a few people are trying to get on Phil Foden early, but we have no evidence to back up that Phil Foden is the Phil Foden of last season just yet.
Yeah, the wingers rotate a lot, so you can go for Doku or Savinho, but then it's Grealish and Bernardo Silva who play wide, and Bernardo Silva and Grealish are not really that efficient on the game, certainly in terms of points return. So, yeah, I don't know where you go really attacking-wise for City if you don't get Haaland.
And I think the back-to-back blanks make people think about selling, but before that, he's got 67 points so far this season. That's top in the game. 10 returns in 7 matches, 3 double-digit hauls, 14 bonus points. Like, that's not the sort of player that you look to sell. That's not a priority transfer. I think maybe if you've gone this far without having Haaland, you can consider whether you want to invest the 15 million. But those fixtures just look too nice not to have him. And I think you're quite right in what you say. Like, it's really hard to pick somebody else in that Man City team. So if you want to invest in City for those fixtures, which you're going to, it kind of feels like it has to be Haaland.
You can't say I didn't try and make it into a debate.
But
to
be fair, if you don't have him, you can easily then have Palmer, Saka and Salah in your midfield. That's then doable.
But I'm sorry, I know we talked last week about not having premiums and having to ride it out. Surely that's the scariest scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, but
with those fixtures as well.
Yeah, no, it's true about the fixture. But as we always say, and we say it again, it's whoever you replace him with. If you pick the right people to replace him and they return pretty much every week, if you have a front three of Watkins, Solanke and I don't know, let's say Isak for the sake of it. And all three are really performing and really doing well. And you can see they are, they have the momentum and keep scoring and on a really good scoring run. And a midfield of Salah, Saka and Palmer plus one, and you play 3-4-3, that's potentially okay to not have Haaland. But it's also very risky.
Okay. That's probably the biggest Haaland in or out debate we've ever had on this podcast, I think.
Normally we just say yes, don't we?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think we have ultimately all said yes. But we've offered some counter-arguments. Semenyo, been very popular in the game, arguably Bournemouth's standout player, Sam?
I'd sell him.
You have to with the fixtures that they have coming, Arsenal, Villa and City.
Yeah. He's averaging 4.4 points a start, so he's been playing well.
Yeah.
But the fixtures, the way that they are, I think you sell. I think there's other players at that price point now that have nicer fixtures you could go to.
Who?
Well, it depends if you've got more budget. Mm-hmm. If you've got more budget, then you can go back. Brennan Johnson's getting another shout out on this pod, but you can go up to him.
The FPL pod, sponsored by Brennan Johnson.
I love him. He deserves it.
He does deserve
it. Yeah, 6-6 is impressive.
Yeah, wait till he scores for Wales and then he'll be I went Dwight McNeil last week, who has got a fantastic fixture run coming up and you could hold him for a while and is the most creative midfielder in the game right now. So
and he plays centrally now. You remember he used to be a wide player and now he plays just behind Calvert-Lewin, which I think is much better for him, for Everton, for the game, for everybody.
Okay. What do you think, Jules?
I'd sell him as well. Yeah, I have him. But he was always going to come for this, the period that he had done. And after that, I would have sold him before this incredible Arsenal Villa City back-to-back fixtures is, I think, horrendous.
You're going to sell him this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you? You've got him too, no?
No, I'm going to give him another week just because of other things that I've got to do in my team. But I'm not being talked into anything by you.
No, they're home to Arsenal. I mean, if you could bring Cole Palmer. If you could bring Cole Palmer.
I can see a fixture list.
Oh, it's suddenly very cold in this studio.
I haven't fully decided what I'm going to do at this point, but I'm happy if I keep him for another week. I do think Arsenal is a tough fixture. Obviously, I'm not.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
Oh, he'll be sold by the end of this podcast, money. No, I know he needs to be sold. I just don't know if he'll be the first one.
You might
out
be able to bench him this podcast.
Yeah,
this
as it stands, looking at my team, no, because I don't trust Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who is so at the moment, Semenyo is in my team. If it was Arsenal away, I wouldn't think about it.
You'd play Dominic Calvert-Lewin over Semenyo, no?
Oh, I just feel like I've been burnt so many times by Calvert-Lewin. Away from home, Ipswich. Everything as well.
You have to play
Ipswich.
The fixtures, Kel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's away from... Oh, let's not
Ipswich.
Get onto this.
We're going to get the blame when this goes wrong.
I know.
I hate this podcast.
When Semenyo scores a hat-trick against
right,
Arsenal.
Right, Mo Salah. Moving on. Another player that I wish I could have. Mo Salah.
Do you, though?
It's tough.
Because I'm kind of regretting a little bit.
Yeah, because you don't have Saka.
Yeah. Because, again...
I'm fine not having Mo Salah. I'd love to have him, but I'm okay with my team at the moment. Sam needs to stop giving me that look because it makes me feel really like I want to walk out. A look as if to go... Why?
You know the thing
fine.
With Salah.
No, as in I'm happy that I've gone with Saka over Salah. I would love to have
Mo Salah.
No,
I agree with. I agree with
that. I thought
that
was a look of what stupid thing for Kelly to say.
No, not at all. I totally agree with that. Like, I think you hold Salah if you have him.
Yeah, agreed.
But if you need that money for Haaland,
yeah,
I think you sell.
I think the eternal discussion about Salah or Saka or Palmer again. I think he's blanked two of his last...
Game week 7, I'm bored of it already.
He blanked two of his last four games. And it's not so much the blanking. I can do it. Everybody blanks. Nobody will return every single game for the whole season, 38 games, whatever you want. It's the chance that he missed against Palace and against Wolves. Wolves, especially on that Lemina back pass.
I know what you mean.
Where I think...
It's not like Salah.
Salah. Exactly. Yeah, even on his right foot, I do not care. They are easy chances for him. And I was just very surprised and very disappointed in a way that he didn't put them away. To the point that I'm thinking like, okay, I know he's done really well so far, but I just don't know. The Crystal Palace game, it felt like he was a bit more of a passenger than anything else. And yeah, I'm doubting a little bit of the Mo Salah pick right now. And considering how much he is, if I sell him for Saka or Palmer, for example, you still, as we said last week, there's an extra 2 million in your bank then to reinvest somewhere else. That's a lot of money.
You're going to sell him?
I don't know. They've got Chelsea at home. Okay, but Chelsea are so unpredictable. They're going to attack and they're going to attack and they're going to... So it might not be a bad game for him because of the way Chelsea are going to play. But then Arsenal, Brighton, Villa...
Think about the upgrade on Semenyo, though. If you sell Salah for Saka...
Can I also throw another name into this? Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Can I throw another name into this? You've put Salah on this list, Sam. What about Diaz?
I'd sell Diaz.
Yeah, this is what I mean in terms of why I might not sell Semenyo. Because I might sell Diaz.
The thing with Diaz is that
I never wanted Diaz on my wildcard. As we know, let's not go back to my wildcard.
Really? Who did you want? Who did you want?
I was never sold on him. And ultimately now, 3 weeks ago, he was the best non-most, like, most
alternative. Yes, well, you were wildcard.
And now he's not.
Yeah. But I think the thing is with him at the moment is that Gakpo's actually playing really well. Like, Slot has a viable alternative to Diaz in Gakpo. For Jota, Darwin is not playing very well. So he doesn't really have that straight... The team is slightly weakened when Jota isn't there, whereas when Diaz isn't there, I don't think it is really. So you've always got that potential for a little bit of rotation. I think right now, with the fixtures that they are for Liverpool, obviously it's Chelsea and Arsenal in the next 2 weeks, I would lose Diaz. I think Salah, I would also hold I'd hold him unless you need the money, but I think Diaz I'd sell.
And yeah, and let's not forget, I know we say every international break, but Diaz, Darwin going really far. I mean, even Salah to a certain extent.
Darwin's still banned, no?
No, that has been lifted, I think.
Oh, has it?
Yeah,
but that's also goes back to my Semenyo thing again. I just feel like for me, Diaz, I didn't want him massively on the wild card. It worries me not having a Liverpool attacker with how Liverpool are playing, though. Like, you're in a great position because you've got Jota. You've got the best option there at the moment.
Yeah.
Does that worry you, Jules? If you were to sell Mo Salah, would you go without a Liverpool attacker?
Say that again, because I was checking the Darwin Nunez suspension. I thought it was lifted, but it might not have been lifted. So yeah, Darwin might not have travelled to Uruguay. But anyway, for Diaz and even Salah to go to Egypt and play those games, it's quite tiring. But sorry, what were you going to
say? Would you be comfortable?
No, I'm sure it was a great question.
It was. I'm sure whoever you were texting was great as well. No, it wasn't about Cole Palmer. If you sell Mo Salah, will you be comfortable going without a Liverpool attacker?
No, that's the thing. Well, no, I think I could be okay because their fixtures are really tough, although I think they could score against anybody. But yeah, you need to find a way of getting Jota in or getting Gakpo in. Or even if you just get Trent, I think is enough because Trent covers so much defensively and offensively. I think that's good. So I could, for now, for the next 5 minutes, because let's not forget, after Chelsea and Arsenal, we said they've got Brighton, Villa, then I think Southampton and then City. So the next really 6 games are incredibly tough for them. So, yeah, it's a really interesting debate, I think. I don't know. I think it's always better to have a Liverpool attacker. I just think that for how much Mo Salah costs right now and the form that he seems to have, a little bit patchy, let's put it that way, I'm not so sure how much of a must-have he is.
Still 8.9 points per start, though, this season.
Yeah, because he had a 17-point haul, a 10-point haul as well, before he blanked twice in the last 4 games again.
I was having this debate with someone the other day. Do you prefer getting a big 17-point haul, or do you prefer them to nicely tick over?
I prefer them to be like Harry Kane, just gradually every week tick over the points and be consistent.
Yeah, same here. That's what your team's
because
like.
Because otherwise you get 30 points when they get nothing and then you get a big point when they all get 15. No, but the other problem is that if you get the haul, then what you end up is they then don't return for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Then you sell them and then you miss the next haul. Whereas if they're consistently returning,
you're holding.
You know
where you're at. Okay, Pedro Porro.
Yay.
Sell every day, man. Just at a discount if he wants to, like in the pound shop. I don't care.
Sorry,
sell
but
him.
Sam Bonfield told me to bring him in on my wild card.
No, oh, my word.
When did I say that?
You suggested that he was a good option.
I remember.
It was because you were talking up Spurs fixtures, but I think if you want a Spurs defender now, you'd go Van de Ven or someone, would you?
Oh, yes, you would go Van de Ven. Yeah, I mean, I've put, to be fair, I reacted just for fun, but I've put sell as well.
You know it's bad. You know you really must sell him.
I've got him. Yeah. He's got 3 returns so far, 2 clean sheets and a goal. He's being outscored by Romero in the Spurs defence currently. Romero's got 28 points. He's got 26. But that's only one more point than Van de Ven's got this season. And Van de Ven's a million cheaper, or just under a million cheaper because Mickey's had a price rise. But yeah, I mean, I think the fixtures that we have coming up in the next four, it's West Ham, Palace, Villa and then Ipswich, there should be some attacking returns against those defences. Those defences have not been solid, which you do get a greater sense of attacking threat from Porro than you will from Van de Ven. However, the one thing I will say about Porro is since Kulusevski's moved into that kind of eight role, the midfield is quite busy with Kudu and Madison, and Porro tends to check his runs a little bit more. He's not going quite as much as he was before. So he is less of an attacking threat in the last couple of weeks than he was maybe in the opening 4 game weeks of the season. So I think I am probably going to sell him. I'm probably bringing Van de Ven instead. Save a million.
And you're just, you don't have him, but you'd sell him.
No, I would not trust any of the Spurs defenders whatsoever. or Ange Postecoglou, or anybody defensively.
Arsenal fan.
It's not even Arsenal fans. We saw against Brighton, that can happen every weekend with this Spurs team.
Fun to watch as a neutral, though.
It's very fun to watch.
Tell you what, it was not fun to watch for me.
I bet it was.
Okay, moving on. Mazraoui.
Why are we talking about
Mazraoui? Because the fixtures,
I know, Jones. I know the fixtures. And to be fair, I don't know how, but he got to 27 points, is that right?
Did you buy him?
And they've kept three clean sheets.
I know, because they're set up to defend. They can't do that in the fixture list that we have coming, which are...
Brentford, West Ham, Chelsea, Leicester, Ipswich, Everton.
But again, unless they change managers, which I hope is happening soon.
You're on one
today. No, I'm just saying, unless they change manager and bring a more competent one, I'm not sure I would go nowhere near a United player.
I struggle to bring in a Manchester United player at the moment. But Sam, you've written this name on this list.
Yeah, it's your name. Go on.
Make
your case. Go on.
Go on. No. If Sam says something, she can normally back it up.
Yeah. What about Johnny Evans? Maybe you fancy him?
No, I don't fancy him. No. Okay. 27 points so far, 3 clean sheets. Like, actually, the defensively, they're all right. I mean, they've had some terrible results.
If you were going to look at a Manchester United player, it would probably
be to be defender. And they're cheap. That's the other thing to consider, is that they're not expensive. You can bench them in the weeks that you don't want to play them. But actually, in the fixtures that they have coming up, I would expect there to be at least a couple of clean sheets in that period of time, because they're not very good in attack, but they are okay in defence if they set up that way. Like, Onana is currently the highest scoring goalie in the game.
Yeah. No, he's the only one, really, that I think I would look at. This United team.
I've been thinking about doing a goalie swap and getting him.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think it's terrible. Like, I think if you want to go for Manchester United, you have to go for a defender. And I think of the defenders, if you want an actual defender rather than a goalie, Mazraoui is the best one.
I would say, I think Brentford, West Ham and Chelsea could easily score against this United team. That, again, we'll have to attack in those games.
That's true. Yeah.
After that, it's Leicester and Ipswich, then maybe it makes more sense to bring an Onana or Mazraoui or even Dalot. Mazraoui and Dalot being the only two with Onana, three that are guaranteed to start, because as we've seen, Maguire, Evans somehow seems to find a place in that team, which again...
Evans was brilliant the other day.
Me. Yeah, but he's still Johnny, he's my age, so come on, let's...
I don't think that's quite true.
Let's behave here.
He's not that old.
No. It was my birthday not long ago, you know?
Yeah, but
you know?
Johnny Evans isn't the same age as you.
Not far, though. 44 to 36.
Right. We digress.
I love you, Johnny, though, but
Bukayo Saka, how you would love to have him, Jules.
I love him so much. And I still think that you English people underrate him.
Agree.
Massively. I'm not just saying you two, but...
I asked him if he was underappreciated because he's... This is, again, not really a conversation for this podcast.
No,
because
it is.
We take for granted how consistent he has been from the moment he got into the Arsenal first team and with England as well. Neither of those two teams function as well without Bukayo Saka in. Mm-hmm. And because it goes back to like the explosive points haul, he does get the explosive points hauls, but he also is consistent. He literally returns pretty much every week.
His numbers are outrageous. Not just goals and assists, but the other stats in terms of big chances created, everything is just so, so good. This season, again, after just 7 games.
Jules, can I just pull you up on it, though? You don't have him in your team. You
no,
think
I know.
Great.
Salah. I saw him the other day.
I think Saka's more my mate than he is Jules's.
he is your mate. But I saw him the other day and we didn't discuss FPL. I think if you have him, keep him for sure, obviously. If you don't have him, try to bring him in at all costs.
Sam? Mm.
Yeah, the fixtures are mixed, but...
He's fixture-proof for me.
I agree. I think he is fixture-proof. And I think, you know, he's averaging 7.7 points per start at the moment. Mm-hmm. And, all right, this is the first haul that we've seen this season. But, my goodness, we should have had hauls before. The underlying numbers are ridiculous. So,
but also, you say that. There's only been 1 week where he's blanked.
There's only been 1 week where he's blanked.
He had three weeks in a row with just an assist.
Yeah,
but even that, it's like just an assist. This goes back to what I said before we take for granted.
True.
12, 6, 6, 7... Then 4, then 3, then 16.
But in those weeks where he's got 7, our expectations of him, because of the underlying numbers,
we've also been watching Cole Palmer be Cole Palmer.
The thing, isn't it? We all have this temptation to jump. Mm. Like, Cole Palmer goes off, so we all go, oh, we should.
I've already this season gone Saka, Salah, Saka.
Yeah.
Of course.
And it's understandable, right? And I think with Saka, a lot of people looked at him and went, well, he hasn't hit the highs yet. Mm-hmm. But you only have to take a look at the underlying data that's there to know that it was coming. The haul that he got this week was coming. And it doesn't look like it will be a one-off because the underlying numbers have sat consistent
all
season.
Have you got some of the underlying numbers there? Or am I putting you on the spot too much?
You are putting me on the spot.
I've got them somewhere.
His attacking returns, I mean, you had eight, didn't he? Eight chances created last week. I think when you look at him in comparison to the other premium assets.
If you're comparing him to Salah at the moment, is he much ahead of him in terms of value for money?
So yeah. And even,
he's cheaper.
Yeah, and...
Saka is the only Premier League player this season so far with more than at least 10 chances created, 27, big chances created, 12, shots, 25, dribbles completed, 14, tackles, 12, plus the 7 assists and the 2 goals. So nobody has hit those kind of numbers in chances created, big chances created, shots and dribbles completed together as a whole. So it's having a monstrous start of the season. I know it's only the start, and we said there's some difficult games coming up because they will have Liverpool, they will have Chelsea, they will have Newcastle. But considering that they've played away at Villa, away at Spurs, away at City, and yet he's put up those numbers, I think he's really, really impressive.
Because Havertz is obviously pulled out of international duty.
Yeah.
I don't know how serious that is. I guess we're waiting.
Yeah.
If Havertz is fit, does Havertz, that's what you've tried to do, cover Saka's points.
And has worked to a certain extent. Yeah, I think he's still okay because Havertz has done really, really well. I just think, again, that on mid to long term this season, Saka is more likely to be very consistent and have those like 8 points, 10 points every week, maybe more than a Havertz that has been in great form so far and has been returning regularly, but I'm not sure how long this will last. With Saka, because we've seen in the last three seasons, you just know exactly what you're getting with him.
Mm. Okay, so we all want Saka. We're saying buy him if you can. Definitely keep him. Don't sell him.
Yeah.
And if you're Jules, just sit behind a sofa every time Arsenal play, even if you support them. There might be a little bit more of a debate around the Arsenal defence, though, because just 2 weeks ago on my wildcard, everyone was telling me to double up. Ultimately, in the end, the reason I didn't was because of the Raya confusion around his injury.
Yeah.
And I've just got Gabriel, and I'm actually quite glad now I didn't double up.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about the Arsenal defence, Jules?
I would go for one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever you want, even a Timber when he's fit, Calafiori, Raya, Gabriel or Saliba.
Who's the best option?
I still think it's Gabriel for the set pieces threat that we mentioned. He's the target. He's the one who's going to score more than anybody else. The others are there to make him score, by the way. So, although Calafiori is the more of all those four especially outfield players, the one who will come in midfield the most, who maybe find himself in positions to score from outside of the box like we saw against Manchester City, which Saliba, Gabriel and Timber will never do or far more rarely. But one for sure, I've never been a big fan of doubling up defence anyway because again, if you play a back three with your goalkeeper, that's four players. If you have two of the same team, then they concede. This is it. Two are gone. So I was never a big fan, but I can understand why because they look so good. Although there's a goal against Southampton, there's a goal against two goals against Leicester. And if you look at the Liverpool defence, although Liverpool didn't play as many tough games as Arsenal so far, you would say that it was better to invest in the Liverpool defence, Konate, Van Dijk, Robertson, /Tsimikas and Trent, and then it was maybe to the Arsenal defenders because they got far many more clean sheets. So, yeah.
One Arsenal defender
is enough for me.
I find this one difficult because the thing with one Arsenal defender is that everyone's got one Arsenal defender. So you have one Arsenal defender, it's basically like having no Arsenal defenders because everybody's going to get the benefit of those points unless you've got Gabriel who goes on a mad thing.
Yeah, nine again.
That's why he stands out as the option.
Whereas we saw last season, and if you remember back to back end of last season, part of my issue, why I kept losing rank to Ian every week is because Ian had two and they kept keeping clean sheets and I had one. And every week then it was like, well, great, Saliba's kept a clean sheet, but I can't even remember who we had now. Raya and Gabriel or Raya and Saliba. And it was just like every week I'd lose some traction. Now, I think with the fixtures the way that they are, Bournemouth next and Nottingham Forest potentially look clean sheetable. But those middle three, the Liverpool, Newcastle, Chelsea, I wouldn't necessarily expect. So I think you could potentially lose one for now. But when I wildcard, I'll still double up on the Arsenal defence because I do think they are the elite.
Yeah, after that.
They're the elite defence in the league. So I think after this little run that they've got, you should be looking for two, but I'll just have one for now.
Okay. So if people have two, would you suggest selling one?
I think I would, yeah, for the next couple of weeks. I mean, maybe not for Bournemouth. I might wait off and then sell for game week 9, 10, 11, and then look to reinvest again then.
Okay. Have we got anyone else on that list? Okay. Flecken. Why did I bring him in my wild card?
Because you listen to Sam, maybe?
Their fixtures are great.
Yeah, but they're just not keeping clean sheets.
No.
But then I don't know where I'd go. I don't like making goalkeeper transfers. I'm not going to be making a goalkeeper transfer. That's my issue. So I'm holding, but for no other reason than that, really.
Well, they're really unsexy, aren't they, goalkeeper transfers? But they are. They're not like the exciting picture you want to make in FPL. Yeah. So you stick with the goalie that you have unless you're wildcarding, I think is the reality. So,
And if you're like me and wildcarded 2 weeks ago and already regret it.
Yeah, but...
Man United away next.
Man United, Ipswich, Fulham, Bournemouth, Everton, Leicester. You're not going to sell Flecken ahead of that. Like, there should be clean sheets in
there. Even if you don't fancy him, keep him for that.
So keep
it makes
now?
Sense.
Yeah. But you wouldn't buy him.
I wouldn't buy him, no.
Who's the best option at the moment, goalkeeper-wise?
Mine is Areola, for the reasons that everybody knows. That
beyond, take those reasons away.
Areola. It's my brother. Like,
yeah, he's not
Saliba,
doing it for real, genuine reasons.
I have to be in there, otherwise I'm in trouble. So I like the Onana pick that we mentioned. And I know Brentford is scoring and just scored 5. Last weekend, and they have a few players going on international duty, but not that many, so they should be fresh and everything. But I like the Onana pick right now, to be fair.
From slating the Manchester United suggestion.
I've said before about Onana. I've said.
I've said about Onana.
Apart from Onana, I'm not sure.
Pickford's got nice fixtures.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Everton.
Are you influenced by a certain penalty save last week? He's got that in his locker, though, actually. Which
he's
is
got that
nice.
In his locker. I don't know. Look, I...
Yeah, who are you? You said you're going to make, didn't you say you're...
So I can't afford Pickford.
Okay.
Because he's 4.8. I've got 4.7.
Okay.
So I couldn't have Pickford. I quite like... And this is absolutely rogue. But I quite like Sam Johnson at Wolves, but not this week because he's got Man City.
Hold on a sec.
But after that, the run is quite nice. And if you're just so, and the reason I quite like him is that
you're wearing Wolves colours, actually.
I am. I have dressed fully Wolves today.
Well, okay. Good luck.
Because I'm planning to wildcard in 12. I actually just need a goalie for like a couple of weeks,
right?
So I might stick with Hendo for this week. He's got Nottingham Forest, but then after that, Wolves have got Brighton, Crystal Palace, Southampton. Like there should be some clean sheets there. Mm. So I might just go for a little punt on one of them and then move to a slightly more premium goalie on a wild card.
Tell you whose good idea is Hermansen at Leicester on the back of the clean sheet, on the back of the great game he had against Arsenal. Making like a million saves. I know he conceded in the end, but he was amazing.
Save points though.
Southampton, Forest, Ipswich coming up, and then, Manchester United and Chelsea. But the next three, if you're looking for a cheap goalkeeper, Hermansen could be really good.
Mm. Okay, so we've been through pretty much every position and every popular player, it feels like, there. But as I said, part of the reason that we're kind of doing that at the moment is there's quite a few interesting fixture swings. So whilst we do have a break from FPL deadlines during this second international break, potentially people will be wildcarding, or they'll be at least booking in, as Sam is doing, their wildcard. And one thing they will look at is these fixture swings. Just so you know, by the way, we're recording this on Wednesday. It's 11:30 as I speak. And there are actually only 72,000 wildcards active at the moment. But we know that these breaks are really popular times for people to play them. So we expect that to go up. Let's take a look at the fixture ticker then. Sam, talk us through which teams have the fixtures to target.
Well, I think it depends on what you want to do. So if you're wildcarding, then I think you have to look really long term, basically look till Christmas and look at the nice fixtures, knowing then you're just going to make little tweaks to your team as you go through. If you're not wildcarding yet, or but you're planning too soon, then I think you can just look for shorter sections of time. So if we're looking at the next five, then Everton, Manchester United, Leicester, Man City, Brentford, Ipswich, Fulham look like the teams that you would want to target. If you're going slightly longer term with your picks, then you've got teams like Wolves, Spurs come into that equation as well. You've got Arsenal coming back into the equation at that point because they get through that little period of red. And Brentford are in there as well as our Newcastle. So I think it depends on how your strategy is in terms of your chips as to which way around you're looking at it. But there are some teams like Manchester City, like Manchester United, who have nice fixtures, whether you're doing it in the short term or the long term.
Okay. So if we take a look at you've kind of answered it there. It's tough, isn't it? Because when you actually look at the whole fixture ticker, we've got in front of my screen right now, I should say, we've picked out the teams are the best fixtures that you've mentioned there, and then the fixture ticker with like further down as well. So it can get quite confusing when you look at it. How much do you look at the fixture swings and also form? because that's the problem I struggle with. When you're picking out teams like Everton, Manchester United, Leicester, I struggle to pick players from there because we haven't seen the form, albeit Leicester's form has maybe been better than some of their results.
I mean, I think there are players within those teams.
Yeah.
So the teams themselves might not be in the best form, but like Dwight McNeil, for example, has been in really good form. So you can kind of go there. I think some of it is punty. Like some of it, you have to kind of go, I'll take a bit of a chance on that one because the underlying numbers for that particular player are there, even if the team haven't been.
It's also about getting ahead of the curve a little bit as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You kind of have to take it, like you said, be a bit punty and think. Like Wolves feel like a really bad example. They're bottom of the league. They've got 1 point this season. They're shipping 5 goals away at Brentford, for example, and they've got Manchester City next. But then you do look at their fixtures. They've had a tough start. Then it is Brighton, Crystal Palace, Southampton, Fulham, Bournemouth. If you're ever going to invest in them, this is the time, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Like Cunha, he's their top goal scorer.
Aiden Norrie as well.
Ian Strand-Larsen is a really nice
lovely player.
My partner, loyal listeners to this podcast, might remember Max had a really good year a couple of years ago.
Yeah, jammy.
Didn't have something. Well, clearly, because last year he was finished like in the millions. This year, he doesn't... I don't know if he listens to this pod. I don't think he does. He hears enough from me at home. But he's absolutely wiping the floor with me in head-to-head. We're around the same points total, but he just beats me in a head-to-head. So he's like 20-0 or something, or whatever it is, up. And he keeps pointing out. But he's had Strand-Larsen from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, I look at that. I've got him in my draft team as well, quite enviously in a way, because he's cheap.
Yeah.
And if Wolves are going to score it, he's been involved. So it's players like that, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like... Ain't Norrie and Cunha both have really good underlying numbers, both of them.
The two outstanding picks from Wolves, with Sean Larson are them two.
Yeah, like Cunha, he's top for crosses at Wolves so far with 36. He's top for chances created with 10, of which three have been big chances. He's currently averaging 4.8 points per match. Now, because Wolves are playing badly and haven't really done anything to set the world on fire in terms of Premier League yet, people just go, oh, I'm not looking. But actually, Cunha's numbers are there. Same with Ain't Norrie.
Yeah,
so no clean sheets yet, but he's created 9 chances. He's third across the Wolves team for goal attempts with also 9.
Yeah.
And he's got 4 attacking returns already this season.
The other one thing I would say is they were poor against Brentford Wolves. Gary O'Neill said that he was scathing. But before then, they've obviously not got the results and they've not been getting what they want to get from games, but they haven't been disastrous.
No.
They have been.
They've had tough schedules as well. Yeah. I saw them against Arsenal in the first game of the season and they were good. And in the end, Arsenal was just better overall. But yeah, I thought they were good. I never expected them after 7 games to be bottom of the table. And they will climb up the table very soon now.
But you forget that Man City game. The games from 9 onwards, these are the games that you would expect Wolves to start getting points on the board.
Yeah.
And so if you can... pick one. I'm not saying go all in on Wolves and buy 3, but pick one.
And if you are wildcarding now and you're bringing in a Wolves player with Man City next, remember a wildcard is not just for 1 week.
Well, the thing is, just bench him. Bring in Ain't Norrie. Stick him on the bench.
Paris born and bred Ain't Norrie, by the way, which makes him better.
Oh, that's why.
Wondered why you liked him so much.
just saying.
What other teams would you target at the moment, Jules?
So Manchester United, we mentioned. I think there's some decent fixtures coming up, but. Mm. Unless they change managers.
All right, you've mentioned that one already.
A really good one with more hair. I just cannot go there. So I think Manchester City, but it's the obvious one, but it's more who you go with Haaland or do you double up, but then who's the second one that you go for? This is a bit tricky.
Is it worth getting ahead on Foden? I know a few people are trying to. It's expensive.
I would say so. But again, it's very expensive. It's like the 10 million or slightly less than 10, is that?
9.2
now,
There's still a lot of money on that same conversation than Salah, Saka and Palmer, etc., etc. But there is no doubt that Phil Foden is going to be very soon back to his best, you would think. So if he's back to his best, in a team where KDB is still injured, in a team that hasn't really been that great, I thought, so far... Or you go for Gundogan and you expect Gundogan at some point to find the form that he had that season where he kept scoring and scoring and scoring, that he all helped us a lot. The thing with Gundogan is now with no Rodri, he can play a little bit deeper as well, as we saw recently. So I'm just not sure what the answer is on who goes as a City player with Haaland.
What about the defence? Do you avoid? Because for me at the moment, I feel sick every time I wait for a Manchester City team to come out to see if Rico Lewis is in it. But he is starting. Got an attacking return last week.
Yeah, because sometimes he starts him in the middle.
Yeah.
And
but for 4.7, I think before last week, because I was convinced he wasn't going to start because he started the week before, I was like, I'm not going to get two starts in a row out of him. I did. Then he got an attacking return. And now I'm like, do you know what? For 4.7, actually, if he doesn't start, as long as he doesn't come on, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the as long as he doesn't come on thing that's kind of critical, isn't it? Yeah, it's hard because I think when he plays him in, when he plays him instead of Walker, he is a really good attacking threat. When he plays Walker as well and then moves Rico Lewis into the middle, I think he's less attractive for us in FPL because it tends to be Vardiol down the side that then goes back to being the Vardiol that we saw last season. Mm. So it is Pep's strategy and how he deploys Rico Lewis does make a difference to us in FPL. And the annoying thing for us is that we don't really know where Pep's going to play Rico Lewis from 1 week to the next.
He started every single game apart from the Arsenal one where he sat on the bench and one when he came on at halftime.
We're just historically scarred, aren't we, by Pep players?
That's but I think the other issue is that they just don't keep clean sheets. And I know we spoke about this a few weeks ago.
He got an attacking return last week, though. I'm happy.
I think it's set at 4.7.
That's why I was keen to get rid of Guardiola again because that's that little bit more money.
Yeah, too much
money. Whereas for Rico Lewis, I'm happy to maybe... Well, as you've just said there, Jules, he does start, but I'm happy every so often to miss out and not get the same level of points because he's cheaper.
But Vardiol scored against Newcastle, a great goal as well. And I wondered, watching that game, like, okay, maybe this is the turning point in Vardiol's season where maybe defensively they're a little bit shaky, but at least attacking-wise, Vardiol can return goals and assists like he did at the end of last season where he was brilliant. But yet, since the Newcastle game, it hasn't really worked out either for him. So I don't know about Vardiol.
A quick word on Ipswich as well. So I should say that looking at the longer-term fixture ticker, it goes Wolves, Tottenham, Ipswich, Manchester City, Manchester United. We've spoken about a couple of the teams. Sam, you've already touched upon Spurs and wanting to invest there. But Ipswich, Dilap is a really nice option still, isn't he, for a cheap forward? Jules doesn't agree.
I just don't know where he will start. It feels to me like the goals he scored are always a bit... Jamie again, a bit lucky, because Areola has to save the one against West Ham every single day. There's long-range shots. But I don't know, maybe he's just that good and he's going to keep scoring quite regularly. He's not going to score every single game. But
for that price,
regularly.
It goes back to that Strand Larsen conversation.
Yeah, but it's the same for Jack Clark. It's the same for, you know, players in that kind of bracket. There's Dibling at Southampton, for example, who are so cheap that you take a pun and you have him on your bench and then you know that now and again you can start in some fixtures and they will return, potentially.
I love Dilap.
Yeah, you do.
But I love him.
Yeah, but you tease him.
You know what?
You never play him in your team.
But that's because I've got Watkins at the moment. So my plan is to sell Watkins. Not quite yet.
This is good because we need to move on to teams that are at the other end of the fixture ticker, Sam. Yeah. And Villa are actually bottom at the moment.
So my plan is to sell Watkins for Dilap.
Wow.
Because Dilap has had 11 attempts on goal so far this season. That's the most, obviously, across that Ipswich team. 8 of those have come from inside the box and 5 have been classified as big chances, of which he scored 4. His 4 goals already is only better by Haaland of the forwards this season, which is insane, given the price difference between the two of them. It's more than Havertz, it's more than Jackson, it's more than Watkins. So when I'm looking at my team, and in particular at Ollie Watkins, the budget that you have to invest in him is so huge that it means that my midfielders, the midfielder has always been quite compromised in my team because I've gone heavy at the back and heavy up top. I like the Fulham and Bournemouth games that they've got up next. So I'm probably going to hold Watkins for the next 2.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's Spurs, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, then Chelsea, Brentford. I'll probably look to sell Watkins then. I'm going to hold Rodgers. Because
his price point,
at the price point,
With their fixtures, will you just hold Rodgers?
Yeah, I would.
He feels like he's now just enough, really. Whereas before we lived in fear,
you don't have high expectations of Rodgers at 5.1 million. Like if he ticks over an assist, you're happy, right?
I agree.
Just quickly, because we are running out of time. If we're going to talk about Villa being bottom of the fixture ticker, Fulham just above them, second from bottom. Is it time to get rid of the likes of Smith Rowe and Robinson? Bear in mind, there's other players.
So they're bottom because they've got Arsenal and Liverpool at some point with.
Before then, it's not actually too bad.
No. Yeah, they've got
Villa. A few really hard games.
Villa, Everton, Brentford, Palace, Wolves, Tottenham, Brighton. So until you get to Tottenham,
up to game week
between 13. Game week 9 and 12, it's okay.
Yeah, so, I think Raúl Jiménez is on fire and it's good to see him like that. We saw Adama Traoré being excellent against City with no end product, so no points for us, which is a shame. But still, there's still a potentially a great differential there in Adama Traoré. Smith Rowe. okay, he started on the bench, I think for obvious reasons against City in terms of physicality purely. But he'll be back in the team, I expect. So, yeah, I think Robinson the same, Leno probably the same for now. But then, yeah, eventually it gets a little bit more difficult.
Sam, a very quick word on Brighton as well, because they are fourth bottom on the fixture ticker. Liverpool, by the way, the team in between those, but we've discussed them already.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Brighton, if you've got Welbeck, you would hold him. I don't think that, you know, that he's an obvious sell. And I think, you know, Brighton are a bit hit and miss at the minute, and their fixtures are a bit hit and miss. But at their price point, I don't think you get much better options than Welbeck. I mean, even Delap's not that much cheaper than him now. It's like 0.2 or something. So you're not going to save hugely. And I think actually the thing with Brighton is that from game week 12, the fixtures are so nice. So if you're wildcarding in 12, I think you're going to be targeting Brighton. So if you've already got one, you could probably just bench Welbeck for a couple of matches and then have him back in your team for 12. Like, it doesn't feel like something that you need to fix.
Okay, well, that's where we'll leave the fixture swings. In fact, that's where we'll leave the podcast in general, because producer Jesse, who, by the way, we're all in person, but Jesse is still sunning himself in Mallorca on the world's longest holiday.
Of course he is.
Has been sending me, as the pod goes on, he just WhatsApps me time updates, and I got like, I got 45, and like
Claxons.
The bomb, and I got the bomb emojis if to say, if you don't
end it now,
if you don't now. The podcast studio is going to
explode.
So before we do that, and before Jesse
probably
hops on a plane to try and stop me talking any longer, let's wrap up the podcast. We'll be back next week, won't we? Not in person, though. Back at our usual time on a Thursday morning. So the podcast will be with you looking ahead to Game Week 8 on Thursday afternoon. And then shortly after that, it will be on YouTube as well. A reminder, if you are listening to this in your ears, you can also see us with your eyes. We're on YouTube every week now as well. So you can see all of Jules's various... Do you know what? You've not been as animated today.
No, it's quite
good. And you've got a camera. Do you want to do anything to
No, it was quite good. I'm just glad. Just not forget that it's all about talent planning and vision. You know, you should have a plan like we do.
And you should also have a notebook.
Yeah, here we go.
There it is.
Lovely.
It's out. And on that note, guys, have a great week, Sam and Jules. Have a great week to everyone at home as well. A stress-free weekend with our FPL. We'll be back next Thursday. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.